Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's near west side for Mad Radio 92.7 FM WMDX 1580 AM and around the state on a local Civic Media radio station near you, whether you're listening to WRCE in Richland Center, WLAK up in Amory, or our friends locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. You can share a tangent with us here all hour long, 844-967-2789. Those phone lines are open. Got Evan on the board. E, how are we doing on this Monday afternoon?
Oh, buddy. I'm good, man.
Good. Yeah, I'm glad to hear it. You have a good weekend? Yeah, it's just a couple days off, a little refresh, getting back into the swing of things. And it's a gorgeous May Monday afternoon here across the state of Wisconsin. And we're going to dive into a ton of different headlines, ton of tangents. And like I said, number to share, a tangent, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. But Evan, this one, we've got a number of stories that I'm going to get to. We've got an update about a population rebounding thanks to the Wisconsin DNR, an AI update, which I've been keeping a pretty close eye on these. Mm-hmm. So I'm thrilled to share about that one. We've also got some investigations coming out from the Wisconsin Department of Justice into an officer-involved shooting that we're going to get to. But before we dive into all of those different headlines and those tangents, this one kind of caught my eye and was like, really? There was a provision for that? And it is, the question would be, is it okay for a municipality to be able to sell water out of the Great Lakes? Now, the Great Lakes, largest source of fresh water in the entire world, we here in Wisconsin, part of that, portions of the state, part of that watershed, touching several different states, international lines as well. We've got friends in Canada, part of the Great Lakes Compact, that regulates the water, hoping to maintain the largest source of fresh water in the world. Should a municipality, a city, a county, a state, a country be able to sell fresh water out of the Great Lakes?
I might be parsing here, but municipality is kind of a key word to me, like a local community.
You think it depends on the size, huh?
Size and location, right?
Size and location. So California, they get no say.
Come on now.
Proximity to the Great Lakes is key for Evan. 844-967-2789. So, E, you're telling me you think that just a city, that's not acceptable. Maybe a state or a country could sell the water out of the Great Lakes?
Country, I'm going to say, I don't know about that. State, we're getting a little iffy. Community, I mean, if you live on that lake and you need water, I don't know. Maybe I'm parsing.
Well, this isn't just accessing the water. This is taking the water and through an arrangement, sending it off to other places.
No, come on.
That's what I'm asking the question.
We're keeping the water.
That's what the Great Lakes Compact was for. We got communities like Waukesha, for our listeners out there in the Shaw, 101.1 FM in Waukesha, or WAUK 540 AM across southeastern Wisconsin. There's a whole deal. The water table is getting low for the city of Waukesha. They have I believe a tentative agreement with Oak Creek or the city of Milwaukee. There was some back and forth about who was going to sell Waukesha the water, and it was a whole deal. But should a municipality be able to sell water out of the Great Lakes? Because this reporting over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, we've got a deal between Chicago, the city of Chicago, selling Lake Michigan water to Joliet, Illinois, 35 miles away. And so how much do you think it costs to ship water out of the Great Lakes Basin, Evan?
It's got to be monumental. It's got to be insane. It really has to cost a lot of money. And let's be real quick. Their coastline, it's too small. They don't get Illinois doesn't get that much. Let's, you know, they only have
that. The city of Chicago's got a couple of provisions, a part of the Great Lakes Compact that gives it the ability to do this.
Of course they do.
And so this kind of, it caught my eye because I knew that the legal battle and the political conversations surrounding Waukesha, the community of Waukesha getting water, which Waukesha resides out of the Great Lakes Basin. It is in the Mississippi River watershed. And so there's a whole deal about Waukesha not being able to get water from Lake Michigan. And then I see this headline over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talking about how, well, Chicago, for $1 billion, is going to send water 35 miles southwest to Joliet, Illinois. And it was eye-popping. $1 billion agreement that the city of Chicago is going to have to send water out of the Great Lakes. And Caitlin Luby over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel doing some excellent reporting, answering five questions surrounding this deal that went through last month. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, no longer mayor, I believe as of last week, was replaced by Brandon Johnson, signed a 100-year agreement that will transport treated Lake Michigan water to Joliet and five of its surrounding suburbs starting in 2030. The fact that Illinois has a different set of rules when it comes to Great Lakes Compact, a landmark agreement that generally prohibits diversions out of the basin, is a sore spot for many. At a time when water is becoming scarcer, some experts believe Illinois should be focused more on sustainable water management. And so $1 billion, that is the number, the price tag that a municipality can receive for sending and diverting water, fresh water, out of the Great Lakes. It is baffling to me.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Well, the history of it, Evan, because again, we knew of the problems here in Waukesha, in Wisconsin, of how that community was not eligible to receive water for a very long time. There was legal battles. It was going back and forth. There are still, I believe, some questions surrounding that. But now, in the next 7 years, Chicago is going to be able to pump out $1 billion worth of water out of the Great Lakes Basin and send it to Joliet. And interestingly enough, Chicago has permission to do it. And that's what shocked me. The next header for the Luby piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel: why is Chicago selling Lake Michigan water? Because it can. The deal will likely entice industries and businesses into the area, which could mean big economic gains, not just for Joliet, but for Illinois. Chicago began diverting water from Lake Michigan in the late 1800s, when the city reversed the flow of its river to keep sewage out of Lake Michigan. The river now flows into a canal system headed for the Mississippi River. So because of the engineering that was done to reverse the Chicago River, they now can divert water out of Lake Michigan, and now they can choose through their canal system where to send it. And so it is baffling to me. Is this something that a municipality should be able to do? Want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. And E, it is just a very interesting dynamic. So that's when the engineering took place, back in the 1800s, for sewage. But Illinois and the other Great Lakes states fought for decades over how much lake water should flow through the backward river. And in 1967, the Supreme Court set a daily water limit of 2.1 billion gallons per day, which since then has lowered water levels of Lake Michigan and Huron by 2.5 inches. So that's the difference that one city in the Great Lakes Basin, the largest city, I would have to fact check to see if Toronto's the largest city, but I believe Chicago is a larger city than Toronto, but I don't know that for certain. But one of the largest cities, if not the largest city in the Great Lakes Basin, now able to divert water to the tune of $1 billion. That's what the agreement is, starting in 2030. And I think this is pretty wild. It is not, in my opinion, the sustainable water practice, because this starts a slippery slope.
They're really close, by the way. They're neck and neck as far as population goes, and Toronto is just barely bigger. I wouldn't have guessed.
Toronto's slightly bigger? Okay, I had to worry. As soon as I said it, it was the largest. Toronto popped up in my head. I know it's bigger than Detroit. I know Buffalo is there, too, on the Great Lakes Basin, I believe, and there's a number of larger cities, but you got Cleveland as well, but Chicago's bigger than all of those. But
Cleve.
What's the true population on Toronto?
We're looking at 2,791,140 to Chicago's 2,707,120. It's really, really close.
That's really close. Yeah. Okay. So it's comparable size cities, but Toronto and Chicago. I'd be interested to see if Toronto has similar agreements out of the Great Lakes Compact, or if this is just specifically a Chicago thing, because of the engineering that happened with the Chicago River. But it is very fascinating to see that the city of Chicago going to receive $1 billion off of the now ability to send water to the municipalities of Joliet and the five surrounding areas around Joliet, 35 miles away from Chicago, for that fresh, clean water. Because to me, we should be conserving all of the water possible in the Great Lakes watershed. It is key that we continue to have this resource as a state. I understand that there's some communities that are right on the border of these different communities, say between the Mississippi watershed and the Great Lakes watershed, but to see a city be able to receive $1 billion off of this agreement just raised eyebrows. Want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. We're going to take those phone calls, as well as we've got a couple of other tangents coming up with an AI story that caught my eye, because it's not just happening on the internet. With these AI stories that everybody's like, oh, well, people will figure it out. It's smart enough. You know, you'll see if it's fake. Well, the AI story that went around today involved military assets and had real-world ramifications with a market drop on Wall Street. Going to talk about that story as well coming up. Taking your phone calls, your tangents on this Monday afternoon, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. And if you want to follow the show after the 2 o'clock hour, you can follow us on Twitter at Dueling Tangents, where we continue the conversation, share our tangents there on that social media platform. It's got a big Monday afternoon. Going to dive into some more Wisconsin headlines, international headlines, and your phone calls. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. You can download the Civic Media app and take us with you on the go. You can also share a tangent with us on this Monday afternoon, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. We're discussing a piece over the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talking about a deal that Chicago has struck with a nearby, 35 miles away to be specific, municipality, got that little Monday mouth on a Monday afternoon, municipality Joliet, Illinois, to be able to send water to that community for $1 billion starting in 2030, when that community is expected, outside of the Great Lakes Basin, to be out of fresh water in their groundwater table. Want to hear your thoughts, your tangents, 844-967-2789. First up this afternoon, we got Tom from McFarland calling in. Tom, what are your thoughts on this water being diverted from the Great Lakes?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't our deal with Waukesha include them to return as much water as they could? It's a two-way street, I thought, with Waukesha. I'm wondering if Chicago has that same deal with Joliet.
I believe that Waukesha has to send back treated water as well, but to the tune of how much they take out, I don't know. I believe that there is... I will not claim to be an expert on that agreement, Tom. I know that there was a lot of different parties involved in it, and it took a very long time for Waukesha to be able to get to that point. And I would hope that there is return from Joliet to Chicago, to the city of Chicago, but it seems like because of the way that the engineering around the Chicago River happened, all that water is expected to go into the Mississippi River Basin, and I don't think it needs to be recouped by the municipalities wherever it goes. Continuing on at the piece over at the Journal Sentinel, Caitlin Luby does point out that northeastern Illinois is facing issues with dwindling groundwater supplies from overuse, and the Illinois Department of Natural Resources wants to get communities off of underground aquifer systems. So it's not just Joliet that is currently using this water supply. It seems like there are a lot of different communities affected in the greater Chicago area that are already receiving the water from the Great Lakes, because pointing out from the piece, quote, the city can do whatever it wants with Lake Michigan's diverted water as long as it stays under the 2.1 billion gallons per day on average. So it's not even that it can't cross that threshold, it just has to average $2.1 billion of water removal from Lake Michigan, which is connected to all the other Great Lakes. Like, it's not just Lake Michigan that gets affected by this then, it's the entire Great Lakes Basin. But appreciate the phone call, Tom. Hopefully they can try to recover some of that water, but it doesn't seem like that is necessary in this deal. Continuing on over at the phone lines, we got Karina in Milwaukee calling in. Karina, what's on your mind today?
Well, honestly, it sounds strange because I thought that the Lake Michigan, I mean, it's almost like neutral water because there's a lot of people and a lot of countries and states are sharing it. And my question is, what are they doing Joliet right now without all this water? One, and two, is there why we cannot use underground water, if that's the matter, and how they're replenishing that water in the Michigan? Because the thing is, we're using, like Milwaukee, okay, we're using the water, but then through the sewage and the cleaning system, it's actually getting replaced, right? But you're not going to get replaced from Gillette.
Yeah, it seems like it's just going to go off to the Mississippi River and flow down that watershed, Karina. The Great Lakes Basin, through hundreds of thousands of years ago with the glaciers, the way that they formed the Great Lakes, there are dividing lines in the ground. And it's not specific, but I know that it's somewhere where the watershed changes from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi River is near kind of a Milwaukee / Waukesha County line. It is, if you're in the community of Waukesha, you're already in the Mississippi River Basin. If you're in Milwaukee or Chicago, you are in the Great Lakes Basin. And so it is an interesting question to see. The city of Chicago, the only municipality, it seems like, that has been able to take advantage of diverting water from our Great Lakes because of the engineering they did in the 1800s to reverse. And it was a good thing at that time. It was to keep pollution and sewage and all of those terrible things that were flowing from the city of Chicago into Lake Michigan. The reverse engineering was a marvel in the 1800s. But now that they have done that, and they now have a canal system in Chicago that can send water out of the basin to the Mississippi River watershed, it does have ramifications. And apparently, the city of Chicago can do whatever it wants with this water. Which is pretty insane to me to think that a limit of an average of 2.1 billion gallons a day, that's a lot of water. It's dropped the water levels in Lake Michigan and Lake Huron, as the piece over at the Journal Sentinel notes, by 2.5 inches already, and now you're going to have this billion-dollar agreement with Chicago and Joliet. Want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. We got Mark from Prairie Sac calling in. Mark, what are your thoughts today?
Yeah, it's remarkable that in addition to the problem with the water, the Chicago River problem there, it's a silver carp. They have to be really careful about the invasive species. We certainly do not want that invasive species getting into the Great Lakes, because once it gets there, it's going to be that. I mean, that's not the only place where there's a little dividing line. The Bois Brule and the St. Croix River actually share the headwaters are virtually identical, and one flows to Lake Superior, the other flows to the Mississippi River. That And it's all that, you know, but the glaciers left us. I mean, that...
Yeah, and it's all interconnected, Mark, and it is very important that we are having sustainable management of these watersheds. And you're right, invasive species is a huge problem for the watershed as well. And sustainable practices to keep the water levels at what they are crucial. Appreciate the phone call, Mark. You can be like Mark and all of our other excellent callers. 844-967-2789. You can share a tangent with us here on Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. We're going to jump to some more headlines and your phone calls when we get back. 844-967-2789. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. And if you want to share a tangent with us on this Monday afternoon, 844-967-2789, discussing a piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel outlining the details of a deal the city of Chicago has struck with a local municipality 35 miles away, Joliet, Illinois. If you got a thought on it, 844-967-2789. The city of Chicago going to receive $1 billion for diverting water out of the Great Lakes watershed to this community that is in the Mississippi River Basin. And it's pretty amazing that the city of Chicago can do this. It is the only city, got an answer, E, to our own question of whether or not Toronto could do it or not, is a similar size city. Chicago is the only city in the Great Lakes region that has this ability. The city can do whatever it wants with the water. It is incredible that it is allowed 2.1 billion gallons a day to divert out of the Great Lakes Basin. 844-967-2789. You want to share a thought or tangent on this subject. We got Tom in Madison calling in. Tom, what's on your mind today?
Hey, this is why this everything is political. And when you think about it, when it comes to water supplies, and of all the surface water, fresh water in the entire world, so once it's gone, once it's depleted, it's gone. All the other scientific effects and atmospheric effects. But the problem is, I think slippery slope wise, is that you've got all kinds of folks in, especially in red areas, that are depleting or destroying their fresh water. So every time you have a CAFO out in rural Wisconsin, you're damaging the aquifers. Every time you build too much density because you want to build up your tax base, that depletes the aquifers. And if Chicago has this as a marketable quantity, then all the other cities will say the same thing. So if you are 35 miles away from Detroit, Cleveland, or Buffalo, or any.
Well, it looks like we're losing you there, Tom. Apologize. We're going to have to get you a better phone connection. But yeah, the slippery slope question is a big one to answer. But Chicago is the only one that has the permission. The only other loophole in the Great Lakes Compact is the water bottle loophole. And so the only other provision that water can leave the Great Lakes watershed is, and this is reading from the piece again, over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, excellently authored by Caitlin Luby. And talking about the ramifications of this water leaving the Great Lakes, unless the water is in containers that are 5.7 gallons or less, this, quote, water bottle loophole is another contentious and scrutinized part of the compact. Water bottles, beer, or pharmaceutical products are some ways water can leave the Great Lakes watershed. For instance, Blue Triton, formerly known as Nestle, withdrew more than 3 billion gallons of Michigan's groundwater for bottled water between 2005 and 2015, but it was within the container limit, so it was allowed. According to one of the experts in the piece, the two most contested aspects of the compact were this loophole and the water diversions just outside of the basin line, like Joliet. And so it is Chicago and Chicago alone that can be the city, the municipality that can send this water away because of the engineering done in the 1800s. Appreciate your phone call. You can be like Tom, 844-967-2789, or you can be like Lisa in Middleton. Lisa, what are your thoughts on this Monday afternoon?
Hey, Luke, I'm really enjoying this show. Appreciate you covering the topic of water because it is so important, especially with climate change, making water issues worse. And I used to, I'm retired now, but years ago I used to work in the Great Lakes policy space. And I can tell you that there's a lot of nuance, there's a lot of technicalities to the compact that you're talking about. And I really encourage you to feature a guest on the show who can dive into it, trace the history, explain why Chicago has this loophole, talk about the bottled water issue. And I'm going to suggest three speakers. One is Molly Flanagan with Alliance for the Great Lakes. Super smart. She knows, she's been working in Great Lakes issues for years. Number two is Todd, I think it's pronounced Ames, A-M-B-S. He's with the Healing Our Waters Great Lakes Coalition. He used to be with the Wisconsin DNR. And then another Wisconsinite would be Peter Annan up at Northland College. He wrote the book Great Lakes Water Wars. So any of those three, and actually, I don't know if Dan, I haven't read the piece that you're talking about, but I assumed it was written by Dan Egan. He wrote The Death and Life of the Great Lakes. He'd be another great speaker to cover this topic and really dig in and do some fact-checking. So that's my suggestion, and keep up the good work. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Lisa. I do have Dan's book. Brian Kelly has borrowed it to me. It is now on my list of books to get to. It's a longer list than I'd like, but I wish I had a little bit more free time for that kind of reading. But Dan, not the author of this piece over the Journal Sentinel. It is Caitlin Luby, who is breaking down the five questions surrounding Chicago's deal with Joliet to be able to divert the water from the Great Lakes Basin to Joliet, which is outside the basin in the Mississippi River watershed. So appreciate those other sources, Lisa. It's absolutely a subject we're going to continue to talk about because climate change and resource management like this is something that absolutely needs to be discussed. So appreciate your phone call, Lisa. Something else, and this is something that we are keeping an eye on as well that needs to be discussed, is the ramifications of what artificial intelligence, AI, can mean for day-to-day life going forward. And so we know that AI is this crazy thing now. You can chat GPT, you can get recipes, you can get complex responses to a question that you ask. And it's pretty insane to see some of the accuracy, I guess, that comes out of artificial intelligence. And like many new technologies, it's a hit or miss. Sometimes you get really weird things when you say, please paint me a picture of X, and it doesn't come out quite looking like what it's supposed to look like. But the real-world ramifications of what this is, artificial intelligence, isn't just having some fun putting in a question into a prompt for ChatGPT. It has ramifications. And this piece over at Business Insider scrolled across today, and I was like, this is exactly what we've been talking about here on Dueling Tangents when it comes to risks that AI, artificial intelligence, can present to us in the 21st century. The headline over at Business Insider, an apparently AI-generated hoax of an explosion at the Pentagon went viral online and markets briefly dipped. So, Evan, this is now what we discussed, saying going into the 2024 cycle, it was more politics, but this is national security implications, not political implications. It is a image or video that is being shared of an explosion at the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia, had a real-time effect on the way the stock market, hundreds of miles away in New York, was trading because of the generation and the sharing of this content on social media platforms.
First to say that right now, this technology is as bad as it will ever be.
Yeah, in 2 days, only going to get better.
And better hardly even covers it. I mean, dear listeners, I can't express how intense this technology is. You know, we can talk about the amazing things it can do, the responses it can spit back. It's
exponentially ramping
it
up.
It is almost unimaginable what this technology is capable of. And we're in kind of a an interesting time right now. It hasn't been, we haven't learned how to wield it yet. You know, corporations haven't learned how to really, really use it to its full potential.
No, I mean, you remove the verification off of Twitter, and that basic little change there is what led to Eli Lilly's stock prices dropping, because some fake Twitter account that was verified then through the blue badge said, oh, we're going to make insulin free.
There goes $4 billion.
And Eli Lilly just lost that money. And a similar aspect to this story over at Business Insider, a fake image of an explosion near the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. may have been created by artificial intelligence tools, but that didn't stop it from being spread by dozens of accounts on social media, and the stock market briefly dipped as the fake news spread. An image appearing to show a massive cloud of smoke near a building and claims that there had been an explosion near the Pentagon started circulating early Monday, but the image and associated claims were fake, the Arlington Police Department said. So this has the Arlington Police had to respond to these reports. Real world police officers that have plenty of other things to do with now had to go on a wild goose chase to confirm that there was no actual explosion at the Pentagon, because online there were rumors or in this case, a fake Bloomberg news account that was verified on Twitter sharing out this image. So people saw it, thinking that it was a real news source that was putting out this information saying that there was an explosion at the Pentagon. And it got circulated to the point where Arlington police officers had to go and, in the real world, confirm, no, there was no explosion at the Pentagon, with a 0.25% drop in the stock market. So literally, Eli Lilly's stock price losing $4 billion, a fraction of a percentage of the stock market dropping is also millions upon billions of dollars.
And we're already in a world where much of the aggregated news content that you read is AI generated. I mean, and I'm not kidding. This is not some, I'm not exaggerating or anything. There is already tons and tons of news content on the internet where it's basically, it's like a mad word. Or Mad Lib.
Mad Lib, yeah.
You have your nouns and your proper nouns and your adjectives and verbs and the...
Well, the way the algorithms are already telling you and getting in the news in front of you and the way that you think, it is preposterous already.
It's horrifying,
and it's something that we need to work on. Yeah. And continuing on at the piece, while it hadn't been confirmed whether the image was made using AI tools, it does feature some of the hallmarks of AI-generated images, the columns on the supposed building in the hoax photo vary in size, for example, and the fence appears to blend into the sidewalk in some places. The photo was spread on accounts on social media, including RT, the Russian state media Twitter account, with more than 3 million followers, but the post has been since deleted. Most other accounts that retweeted the image appeared to be affiliated with conspiracies or the war in Ukraine. And so there were individuals that were sharing this that have a knack for conspiracy theories, sharing a fake AI-generated, possibly AI-generated, not confirmed, but the account removed it, and I'm sure that there will be individuals analyzing it. It will be confirmed.
And the image is, in fact, AI-generated.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I mean, again, these are the things that you have to now look for. You have to see, like, you have to almost doubt everything that you're seeing for the first time, because there are now verification badges that anybody can pay $8 a month for, and they can throw it on their account and seem like the official news source of X, Y, or Z. And it is then shared, and to the point where police officers are going and responding on the scene, and the stock market is dipping because of these reports. Like, it is...
Yeah.
Wild to see what AI and what the unfettered media companies, these tech giants, are able to now. It's not that they're doing it themselves, but it's happening on their watch, and there needs to be something done about this.
Yeah, our ability to recognize and see this content as it's generated is far outpaced by the ability to generate it with these algorithms. You know, like, you're down to looking at fences and sidewalks and column sizes to determine whether this real-world image that looks credible
is real. It's the test that you
real.
You get the what's the, I can't think of the verification test, but when it presents you with six photos, it says which one does not have the stoplights.
Oh, the CAPTCHA. That's
the CAPTCHA. It's we're now all having to do that with every media. Everything that we see, it's not just everything that's coming across now, because it could be generated by AI and be completely false.
It's not fun. I don't like it.
That's the world that we're living in without any regulation, I know that that's a bad word for some people, but having our government or our responsible bodies to come in and say, this is the guidelines, these are the rules of the road. You can't be just having, you can't run a platform that allows this content to be put out willy-nilly and have police officers responding to a potential explosion at the Pentagon and the stock market dipping.
And somebody pulled the trigger on this story, right? ChatGPT didn't decide to put out this story one day. Like, somebody saw an opportunity to kind of...
No, there was a human element involved as well. The absolutely. And that's the thing, is bad actors are only going to be bolstered to do more bad things if they are not restricted from doing so. 844-967-2789. If you got a tangent you want to share with us here on Dueling Tangents, we got one more segment left in this Monday afternoon. Share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back. And now turn away. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. We got a little Foo Fighters to end this Monday afternoon. And E, did you see the video yesterday of the Foo Fighters? You see the story that dropped?
No, sir.
Their information?
Oh. What do we got?
The Foo Fighters, in the most Foo Fighter way, announced who their new drummer will be for joining them for this upcoming the album. I believe releases beginning of next month or the beginning of July, either June or July. The album drops. They're going on a world tour again, continuing on the world tour that was paused briefly now over the last 6 months in the wake of losing Taylor Hawkins, the longtime drummer for the Foo Fighters. And so the band released a little, I forget if it was a live stream or if it was already cut for the video, but they had some fun with announcing who their new drummer was going to be for the rock and roll group. And so they had a number of different people knock on the studio door, Evan, as the several band members were just chatting, sharing some tangents.
Sure.
And the first up was Chad from the Chili Peppers. Why can't I think of Chad's last name?
Yeah, I can't either.
It's going to come to me. Yeah, I got a piece up here. We got a piece over at Variety.com. But the first band member, Chad Smith. See, it was generic Smith last name, so that's why I couldn't think of it. Chad Smith of the Red Hot Chili Peppers knocks on the studio door, comes into the studio, and has drumsticks in hand, and is just like, hey, somebody double parked me. I need somebody to pull around their car so I can get out. And then Tommy Lee, Motley Crue, comes in next.
Oh, yeah.
And thinking maybe he's going to be the new drummer for the Foo Fighters. Nope, not the case. He's just got the order of P.F. Chang's. He's dropping it off for the guys so they can eat after the jam session. And then the third and final drummer that interrupted the studio time was Danny Carey of Tool. And he dropped off the Poodles. There were two of the band members' poodles had gotten groomed. And then it turns around, and after all this conversation and the interruptions coming in on the studio door, you just hear a very loud, excuse me. And noted enough, Evan, the drum set was not in any of the frames. They were conveniently missing the drum set, the entire little bit that they're doing with these world-renowned, excellent, famous drummers that kept interrupting the studio session. And you hear Josh Fries, who has been a longtime studio musician with the Foo Fighters, but also Nine Inch Nails and Weezer, several other terrific bands that he's been a studio musician for. And Fries, who is going to be the new drummer, replacing or filling the void. Excuse me, not replacing, because nobody could replace Taylor Hawkins. But filling the void that Hawkins' departure created. And so Josh Freese is going to be the new drummer for the Foo Fighters. And then they went into the jam session. And one of the only things I could think of watching the entire video was, man, that P.F. Chang's is just going to get cold. But also, it's awesome that the Foo Fighters are going to continue their world tour. They're going to be coming to Milwaukee on July 15th for the Harley Davidson Homecoming. So that's going to be a terrific show. I'm hoping to get some tickets for that one. But it was a terrific little video of them teasing who the new drummer for the Foo Fighters is going to be for this upcoming album and world tour. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. That was a little bit of drumming tangent of mine here on a Monday afternoon. If you want to share one with us, 844-967-2789. We got Jim in Madison calling in. Jim, what's on your mind today?
Hi. Speaking before about the Great Lakes Pact, I was wondering if the work of the administration was successful in getting an exception for Foxconn.
I believe there were provisions, Jim, in the Foxconn deal as well, but that wouldn't be a provision to remove it from the Great Lakes Basin and put it into a different watershed like the Mississippi watershed, the Mississippi River watershed. I believe the Walker provision in the Foxconn deal was specifically allowing any environmental claim that Foxconn had in that area in southeastern Wisconsin, Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin, that if they had an environmental problem, lawsuit, anything like that, they had a direct access to the Wisconsin Supreme Court instead of going through any lower courts, and they got pretty much a free rein to put a straw into Lake Michigan and do it with it what they may. Now, the compact, I believe, still says you can't take it out in anything that's smaller or anything that's larger than 5.7 gallons, so they can't be taking drums of water out of here, but they could do the Nestle route, and they could maybe try to sell water bottles or package water bottles and take them and sell them elsewhere. And so there is an interesting aspect of that conversation, I think, that can be had around Foxconn as well, and what the Walker administration, former Governor Scott Walker, allowed a Taiwanese company, Foxconn, to be able to have access to the Great Lakes as well.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate your phone call, Jim. You can be like Jim. Share a tangent with us in these final minutes of the last segment of today. 844-967-2789. But another headline talking about conservation. We're going to squeeze this one in, and we're going to have to get to the other stories I wanted to discuss on a later edition of Dueling Tangents. But the headline, Wisconsin DNR estimates state's elk herd have grown to around 500 animals. And I think this is just an excellent example and a way to close the show and talking about these sustainability practices, these responsible management of resources work. And this is an excellent piece, again, over at the AP, Associated Press of Wisconsin, that Wisconsin wildlife officials estimate the number of elk in the state will grow to more than 500 animals by July. The Department of Natural Resources began reintroducing elk in the state in 1995 by importing 25 animals to the Clam Lake region. The agency began another reintroduction effort in 2014 that called for importing up to 150 elk from Kentucky to bolster the Clam Lake herd and establish a second herd in Jackson County. So when we take the science into account and we do these resource management plans and do them right, you can see the effects. And so I understand that Chicago is the only city that can pump water out of the Great Lakes. And as Lisa and Middleton pointed out, there are reasons for that. There's a history to it and it needs to be discussed, but we need to have responsible management. We need to have these ecosystems like elk being returned to Wisconsin. I think that's tremendous. I think that is a good program, and it's now seeing 500 in the herds here in Wisconsin. Shows that it works. And speaking of a different type of deer, we're going to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks with Dan Schaefer and other Milwaukee headlines and tangents and recombobulation tomorrow afternoon at 2:30. And looking forward to diving into those conversations. Was maybe an overreaction that the Milwaukee Bucks fired Mike Budenholzer because the Miami Heat are on a tear. So looking forward to talking with Dan about that conversation tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Tune in to Dueling Tangents. If you missed any portion of this show, check out the podcast, civicmedia.us. Click on Dueling Tangents or find us wherever you find your podcasts. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Talk to y'all then.